The Life of Christ in Stereo. Four inspired voices testify as one. Session 15, Part 7, The Consummation. Based on the book, The Life of Christ in Stereo, republished as The Greatest Story. After each slide, ask each other, what did you learn that was new, helpful, or important? What questions do you have about what you read? A model of the Temple of Jerusalem with its vast courtyard. We are in the seventh phase of Jesus' life, his crucifixion and resurrection. According to the biblical calendar, we are in the month of Nisan, Friday, April the 2nd, AD 33, Nisan 13th. Jesus is about to be condemned to be crucified and will die. Extending from the night of Nisan 14th to the night of Nisan 15th. Some religions deny that Jesus was crucified or that he died, whereas all existing New Testament manuscripts assert that he did die by crucifixion. The biographies of Jesus, called the New Testament Gospels, date from the 1st century AD. They were compiled by Jesus' contemporaries from eye and ear testimonies, as well as widely circulated materials. None of these facts was contested by Jesus' enemies at the time and form a coherent narrative. Since then, they have been copied and recopied thousands of times and quickly translated into other languages, so that there exist today some 5,000 manuscripts and fragments of the original gospel accounts. While we view the slides, reading the biblical text, recall any scriptures which explain how Jesus' death benefits God and us human beings, and be ready to share one or two points afterwards. Jesus and his disciples are traveling to Jerusalem. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and everything the prophets have written about the Son of Man will come true. He will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be crucified. He will be," Jesus foretold, "his own death." The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were 2 days away. When Jesus was finished saying these things, he told his disciples, "You know the Passover is coming in 2 days, and then the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." That is, Jesus foretold both the date and the place of his death. Jesus in the presence of the governor, Pontius Pilate. Pilate wanted to release Jesus. He said to them once more, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called Messiah, whom you call King of the Jews?" Again, they all shouted, "Let him be crucified!" They continued crying out, "Crucify, crucify him!" They all, including the Jewish leaders. "By our law, he ought to die because he claimed to be the Son of God." Pilate returned to the judgment hall and said to Jesus, "Where do you come from?" Jesus gave no answer. "You refuse to talk to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you know that I have authority to crucify you or to release you?" Pilate, wanting to satisfy the crowd, gave in to their demands about Jesus and handed him over to be crucified. When they finished ridiculing him, the soldiers stripped him of the cloak and of the purple garments and gave him his own clothing. Then they led him out to crucify him. They had dressed him in purple in order to mock him as a fake king. Two others, who were criminals, were led away with him to be executed. They brought him to the place called the skull, or in the Jewish language, Golgotha. There, at 9 o'clock, they crucified him. Along with him, they crucified the criminals, two robbers, a pail of sour wine and a sponge on a stick. A soldier took a sponge, filled it with the wine, put it on a hyssop stalk, and lifted it to Jesus' mouth. Jesus again cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished!" Then he bowed his head. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." After saying these words, he yielded up his spirit. 3 days later, at the tomb, the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, don't be overcome. I know you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? Remember that he said to you while he was still in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" Some ancient historians also recorded the fact of Jesus' crucifixion. Caius Cornelius Tacitus wrote this, "Nero substituted as culprits and punished in the most unusual ways those hated for their shameful acts, whom the crowds called Christians," Latin for Christians. The founder of this name, Christ, had been executed in the reign of Tiberius by the procurator Pontius Pilate. A Jewish priest and historian, Flavius Josephus, in his book titled Jewish Antiquities, wrote this, "Jesus, a wise man, a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly, he won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. When Pilate, upon hearing him accused by men of the highest standing amongst us, had commanded him to be crucified." And a Greek satirist, Lucian of Samosata, wrote this, "The Christians, you know, worship a man to this day. This distinguished personage who introduced their novel rites and was crucified on that account. From the moment that they are converted, they worship the crucified sage and live after his laws." And it is noted in the Babylonian Talmud from the 5th century, "On Passover Eve, they hanged Yeshu because he practiced sorcery, incited idolatry, and led the Jewish people astray." By hanged, we assume they mean on a cross, and calling him Yeshu, an acrostic cursed, used to this day to slander Jesus. By way of summary then, the prophetic scriptures had foretold the Messiah's redemptive death. Jesus himself foretold the date, place, and manner of his own death. 3 days later, at his tomb, angels affirmed the same. The Gospels, remember, record many eyewitnesses, and ancient historians consider Jesus' execution to be a known fact. So, we conclude, cults that hold Jesus to be an angel thereby deny his human bodily death. And holy books which deny that Jesus was crucified are historically mistaken. Some liberal Christians who hold to the swoon theory risk being damned, and those who consider Jesus to be a deluded, crucified rabbi definitely are lost. Now, Jesus' death by crucifixion secures certain advantages. First, it proves that he was a human being. It also exonerates God, who forgives sinners unfairly, but also secures God's forgiveness towards all who remain faithful to Jesus, and frees believers from Satan's power over the fallen human race, and individually releases God's power to break human addictions and evil habits. Should you choose to continue with this course, your assignment for next time is to visit the Locust site, locis.site, and read or listen to Life of Christ in Stereo, Chapter 21, or Lesson 26 in The Greatest Story. So be ready to share your insights, queries, and objections when we meet again.